I'm going to get myself set up here for our message time. It's great to be with you. So if you just give me a moment, maybe as I'm doing that, I can introduce myself. For those that may not know who I am, my name is Russ Siders, and it's my privilege to be pastor at Sunrise Community Church in Tulare and to be a part of the support team here for Imago Church. And I look out and I see many familiar faces, but some that I don't know. Yo soy el pastor de la Iglesia Comunidad Amanecer. And I'm really excited that I can be with you to share God's word as Pastor Carlos and his family continue to be abroad. And we're praying for them. Estamos orando por el Pastor Carlos. We're hoping that their trip will be really a benefit for their family as they see people that they don't get to see very often. So when Pastor Carlos came to me and said, would you please preach on January 6th, I was so excited. So I've been looking forward to this opportunity to catch up, to see what's going on. Estaba anticipando esta oportunidad. And really, it's been fun over the last few months to track what's going on here with Imago Church, to hear the reports and to talk to some of you and to hear what God's doing through this new project, this new church family that's being built up. De veras me anima a escuchar lo que está pasando. And this project, some of you know this, others may not, this work of Imago Church has been over 2 years in the making. As we've come together and we've prayed, es un proyecto de dos años o más. It's been over 2 years since Pastor Carlos and Charlotte, and it was just Lemmy at that point, came to the Valley August of 2016. That's when things really started to ramp up, and we prayed and we've worked and we've come together, and now this is moving forward. And so it's so exciting. Ahora el proyecto se va adelante. But in a way, as I think about it, Imago Church has been not just 2 years in the making, this has been 20 years in the making. Es un proyecto que comenzó hace 20 años. Why? Because in this year, 2019, Sunrise Community Church will be celebrating our 20th anniversary. And so it's been 20 years since we began as a brand new church in kind of the same position you are right now. Hace 20 años comenzamos la Iglesia Comunidad Amanecer en Tulare. So it brings back a lot of memories. And so this year in 2019 at Sunrise, we're planning a lot of celebrations and different events and things to mark what God's done in our church. And we're going to be inviting you to connect with some of those events and opportunities as you are able. Espero que puedan conectarse con nosotros en esos eventos de celebración. But the thing is this, we began 20 years ago at Sunrise, and part of our vision, as some of you know, was that we were not just going to be kind of a standalone church in our community, but that we wanted, as we reached out, we wanted to be able to start and to plant other churches in other communities, and that this would be something that would continue to grow and to multiply. Tuvimos la visión de plantar otras iglesias. And I'm looking at the fruit of that. Imago Church, you're the fruit of that, of what God has done through those years of praying and seeking. And so I'm so thrilled, and I want you to know, please know, that Sunrise Community Church, we continue to pray for you. We're supporting you, not just financially, but we hope practically. That's, you know, one of the reasons I'm standing here today. This is our support and our love coming back to Imago Church. We're supporting you in other ways, and we want that support to continue. And we want you to know that relationship is going to continue. Estamos apoyando y orando por ustedes, apoyándoles de muchas formas. So that's a wonderful thing. And my prayer is that you will continue to expand, to grow as you go out and reach into Visalia and beyond with the hope of a restored relationship that comes through Jesus Christ. That's the vision, right? And that's so exciting. Espero que puedan alcanzar a otros. So here I am. I'm excited to share with you this morning. And I want to share with you today a story from the Bible, a story of remarkable, unusual growth that I hope will encourage you. It'll encourage you in your personal life, but encourage Imago as a church family. Voy a compartir una historia, and it comes from the first part of the Bible, the part of the Bible that was written before Jesus. and it's called the Old Testament. It's in the book of Numbers. So Numbers 17 is the place we're going to go. Vamos a mirar Números 17. And that is found in the third book of the Bible. So you look for the big 17, and there's Numbers 17. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Now, before you get, you know, scared about that, it's only 13 verses. It's not very long. Voy a leer todo el capítulo del 1 al 13 de Números 17. And I believe we're going to get the Spanish up on the screen if we can. And los que hablan español va a estar en la pantalla el español para que sigan conmigo. And I want to just give you a moment to get there. And as we open this up, please remember, this is something I need to remind myself. What a precious gift we're holding in front of us. The gift of God's Word. The gift that we get to hear from God through His Word that He has given us. So let's open up our hearts and our minds as well as our eyes and our ears to hear what God's Word has to say. Abramos el corazón y el oído y los ojos para escuchar la palabra de Dios. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites, and their leaders gave him 12 staffs, one for the leader of each of their ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. The next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, "Put Aaron's staff back in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me so that they will not die." Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. The Israelites said to Moses, "We will die. We are lost. We are all lost. Anyone who even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all going to die?" Now, I want to take a moment to kind of set the scene here. Quiero poner el contexto de lo que pasa aquí. So in the book of Numbers, we have the people of Israel. And through their leader Moses, God has delivered the people of Israel from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Han sido liberados de 400 años de esclavitud en Egipto. That's a long time, 400 years. And now they're on this journey going through the wilderness, going through the desert, on their way to a different place. And as they journey through the desert, God is preparing them. He's cultivating the soil of their hearts so that they as a people will be ready to be planted in the soil of a new place called the Promised Land. Dios está cultivando sus corazones para la tierra prometida. And so along the way, a number of events happen, but one of those events is they stop at a place called Sinai. You may have heard of it, Mount Sinai. And there Moses goes up and he receives from God his 10 principles for living as free people. Él sube al Monte Sinai y recibe los 10 mandamientos. We call those the 10 commandments, right? Those are actually principles for living as free people in the Promised Land. So Moses receives that. But then after that, God gives to Moses instructions. Instructions about how to build a portable house of worship called the tabernacle. It's also called the tent of meeting or the tent of the testimony, which is what we see in here. Le da instrucciones también para la construcción del tabernáculo. And in the tabernacle, there's a special place called the most holy place. And in that most holy place, Moses puts the stone tablets that contain the Ten Commandments before the presence of the Lord. And the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments are called the testimony.
Él pone los diez mandamientos o el testimonio ante el Señor en el lugar santísimo del tabernáculo.
And so we got to understand what the tabernacle or the tent of meeting is all about. This is in effect the connection between God and the people. This is like the spiritual internet link between God and the people of Israel.
Es como un vínculo entre Dios y Israel.
This holy place is like the portal between heaven and earth. It's like the icon on your computer desktop, right? You click on the icon and the program opens up, right?
Es como el icono de una computadora.
So the idea is the people of God go to the tabernacle and they get into the tabernacle and they, in effect, by connecting with God there, they open up the program of God's blessing for the people.
Al conectarse con Dios en el tabernáculo, se abre el programa de bendición para el pueblo.
But here's the deal. Not just anyone can go into that holy place in the tabernacle and do this. There must be a special representative of the people to go in.
Un representante del pueblo tiene que entrar.
This representative must go in and be appointed by God. So God chooses a man named Aaron to go in. Aaron is the brother of Moses, the leader of the Israelites, and Aaron is also the designated leader of the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes.
Dios escoge a Aarón de la tribu de Leví.
And so Aaron is the high priest. He is the bridge. He's the connecting point between God and the people. So he goes in and he brings the needs of the people to God. And then he brings the blessings of God to the people.
Él trae necesidades de Dios, del pueblo a Dios y la bendición de Dios al pueblo.
Okay, got the picture? Now, let's figure out what's going on here. The chapter before this, in number 16, there's a problem. See, everybody's not on the same page with this idea of how to connect with God.
No todos están unidos con esta idea.
In fact, in Numbers chapter 16, verse 3, we find there's a group of leaders, a group of people that come to Moses and Aaron, and they're grumbling and they're complaining, and basically they say, hey, we're all holy. We're all special people, and God is with us just as much as he's with you.
Todos somos santos, dicen.
And so who do you think you guys are that you would put yourselves higher than us? We can go and talk with God too.
¿Quiénes son ustedes para ponerse en frente de nosotros?
It's an insult to Moses and Aaron. But more than that, it's an insult to God.
Es un insulto a Moisés, a Aarón y a Dios.
In fact, it's not just an insult. It's outright rebellion against the plan of God. And their rebellion is so extreme, es una rebelión, so serious that as a sign that these people are being swallowed up by their envy, by their arrogance, by their pride, by their jealousy, by their hatred. As a sign that all these things are swallowing them up, what happens? The ground itself swallows them, and they disappear. It's a terrible tragedy.
La tierra misma las devora a estas personas como señal de su arrogancia.
Now, you and I, we look at this and we say, what is going on here? I mean, isn't that a bit extreme? But we need to understand what's happening.
Hay que comprender lo que está pasando.
First, we got to be clear about something. It is never God's intent nor desire to curse. God is not looking to curse people.
Dios no mira maldecir a las personas.
God's desire is always to bless.
Él quiere bendecir. That's always what God is working for. God wants to bless his people so much so that he's going to do whatever it takes to get any obstacle out of the way of that blessing happening. And what's happening here is an obstacle to the blessing of God. Está quitando el obstáculo a la bendición. And so here's what we see. God chooses to respond to the negative behavior of these people in a positive way. Right after this, we see that God's intends to bless because he responds in a positive way. And that's where we come to number 17. So God does something positive here. Dios hace algo positivo. He's asking the leaders of each of the 12 tribes of Israel to basically take their scepters, their staffs, their symbol of authority, and to bring them together. Pide de cada líder su vara de autoridad. And so these 12 leaders are to write their names on their talking sticks, or whatever you want to call it, their symbols of authority, and they're to bring them together before the Lord. And Aaron is included in that. Aaron writes his name on his staff. Aaron también trae su vara y lo ponen ante el Señor. And the idea is they're going to put all 12 leaders, symbols of authority before the Lord. And then God says to Moses, the staff, the stick that sprouts, that's the one who's chosen to be the connection for the people. La vara que brota es la conexión con el pueblo. And so they place this in the holiest place before the testimony, in front of the Ten Commandments, in the holy presence of the Lord overnight. And then the next morning, what do they find? They find evidence of God's blessing. Encuentran la bendición. So I want to look at verses 8 and 9 here. It says, the next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. And Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. So, got the picture? Aaron's staff has not only sprouted, like God originally said, but it's blossomed, it's bloomed, it's flourished, it's even borne fruit. It's almonds to be exact, or as we say in the valley, almonds, right? It's got almonds on this staff here. Hay una vara con almonds, con almendras. And so there's this amazing miracle that God does. And then in verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me so they will not die. And Moses did just as the Lord commands. So God's doing something powerful here. Dios hace algo poderoso. He's saying, this one, Aaron, he is the person I've designated to come before me. Este es el designado, Aaron. This is the one who is qualified to go into my tabernacle, to go into that portal between heaven and earth, that connection between Israel and myself. And he is the one that's going to bring the prayers of the people. He's the one that's going to bring the sacrifices on behalf of the people. And he's the one that's going to bring the blessings that I have for the people. No one else can do this. Solo Aarón va a traer los sacrificios y también las bendiciones de Dios al pueblo. No one else. So you see, God's saying to us, he's saying, you can't get connected to me on your own. No te puedes conectar conmigo tú solo. See, before God, you're like those other 11 sticks. You're cut off at the root. Dead. Dry, lifeless, ante Dios. Ustedes los israelitas son como esas varas muertas, las 11 varas. But if you can get connected to me in the right way, through the right person, in the right manner,
You're not just going to be alive in my presence. You're going to thrive in my presence. You're going to blossom. You're going to flourish. You're going to bear fruit all over the place. Si te conectas conmigo en la persona adecuada, vas a poder florecer y dar frutos. Now, as we often see in the Old Testament, this story is not just about what's going on here. There's more to this story than what we see, because this story is pointing beyond itself. It's pointing further down the road. Esta historia señala algo más grande. And we get a clue to that in verses 12 and 13, at the very end of number 17. The Israelites said to Moses, "We will die. We're lost. We're all lost. Anyone who even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all going to die?" Isn't it interesting? The people that were grumbling and complaining and pitching a fit a few minutes earlier, now they're quaking in their boots. All right, los que estaban quejándose ya están temblando con temor. Why? Because they recognize that if they try to get into the presence of the Lord on their own, not only are they like those 12 dead or 11 dead sticks, they're going to be burnt up. They're going to be consumed. And so they say, "We're going to die. We're dead. Vamos a estar consumidos por la santidad del Señor. Somos como esas varas ante un fuego." That's interesting. There's something important here that I want us to notice. Often when people begin to come to God and to begin to seek God in their lives, there's the idea that they are decent people, good people, who just need to be a little bit better and improve their life by getting better connected with God.
La gente piensa que al buscar a Dios tienen que mejorar, que son personas buenas que solo tienen que hacer un mejor esfuerzo.
So the idea is that for many people who are new to a relationship with God, that faith is really just another self-improvement program. It's like my New Year's diet or my New Year's exercise plan. I've got my faith plan, and I'm an okay person. I just need to try a little bit harder on the God thing. And if I just try a little bit harder and work just a little bit more, I can get closer to God. I can be with God, and my family will be better. It's something I can do.
Y piensa que es como si me esfuerzo puedo llegar a Dios.
But notice what the people said. When the people saw what happened, they didn't say, "We're bad, we need to try harder. We just didn't do it right, so we need to back up and try again." They said, "We're dead. We're toast." Right? The problem is this. Jesus puts it best, actually, in John 15:4. I'm going to let Jesus speak for himself. Juan 15:4. Jesus says, "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
Ninguna rama puede dar fruto por sí mismo, sino que tiene que permanecer en la vid, y tampoco ustedes pueden dar fruto si no permanecen en mí."
Jesus is comparing us to a branch. You see, sin is not just that we have done some bad things and we somehow need to make up for it. Sin is not just the bad things we do. We need to understand that sin is being cut off from the life of God, like a branch is cut off from a tree.
El pecado es desconectarse de Dios como una rama de un árbol.
And so here's the issue. We are dead branches. Jesus says, if you're a dead branch, you can't bear fruit. There's no life in you. You can try to be good as much as you want, but it's just dead. There's nothing there.
Puedes intentar ser bueno, pero eres, estás muerto, como una rama muerta.
How many of you have ever seen a dead branch on the ground in the forest or someplace, right? You've seen twigs or dead branches. I don't know about you. I've been around. Well, I got another birthday coming up. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been around, but I've been around a lot of years. So far, I have not seen a dead branch on the ground be kind of start to wiggle, you know, kind of get up and float in the air, and then just kind of go over to the nearest tree, stick itself on the tree, and begin to poop, you know, leaves and berries and fruit and stuff like that. Anybody ever seen that? Anybody? No? ¿No han visto eso? Me neither. It doesn't work that way, does it? Jesus says, you can't bear fruit. We're cut off. That's our problem, and we need someone to come along and lift us up and reconnect us to the trunk that is God. Alguien tiene que reconectarnos con Dios. We need a bridge. We need a connecting person. We need a high priest. Ocupamos un supremo sacerdote. Now, who could that be? It's not Aaron. Aaron did it for Israel for a while, but Aaron's gone. Well, Aaron Oliver's here, but that's not the guy we're talking about, right? Aaron, the original Aaron, is gone. He's dead. And the priests that came after him, what happened to them? They're dead too. Esos sacerdotes ya murieron. We need a priest who's alive and who never dies. A priest who's always able to be that connecting point between us and God forever and ever. We need someone like that who's always blossoming, always flourishing in the presence of God. Ocupamos un supremo sacerdote que siempre está en presencia de Dios. And guess what? We have one. The Bible calls him Jesus. Es Jesús. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews 7, verse 23. It's way in the back of the Bible, and if you can't find it, I'm going to read it, and you'll maybe see it on the screen there. Hebrews 7, 23. This is what it says. Now, there have been many of those priests, like Aaron, since death prevented them from continuing in office. So they've come and they've gone. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede, that is to stand in the gap for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who's holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Jesus offered himself to death. He offered himself to become a dead, dry branch in our place. Jesús se ofreció como una rama muerta en nuestro lugar. And he died on a dead tree called the cross. Murió en la cruz un árbol muerto. But then the Bible tells us that Jesus, 3 days later, did what no dead branch has ever done. He started to move. And he raised again from the dead. He came back to life. El resucitó de los muertos. He is alive. He's risen and he's entered into the most holy place, not the one in a building, but the one in the very presence of God as a blossoming, blooming, flourishing branch bearing the fruit of eternal life for nuts like you and me. You understand what he's doing? Él ha florecido, brotado, nos da vida eterna. That's what we need. That's the one that we can look to. And so now it says here in Hebrews that he is eternally alive in God's presence, and he always is there to intercede for us. That is, like I said, to stand in the gap and to be that connecting point for you and for me to the life of God, that life that nourishes us forever.
Él es el punto de conexión con Dios para siempre. That's what Aaron's branch is pointing to. You see, we don't need Aaron. We need someone who is like Aaron's branch. Always alive. Always with us. And so Aaron's staff, this story, is illustrating for us that we're not just a bunch of pretty good people who are trying to get better in the church. We're actually a group of dead people who are being raised to life by Jesus, who stands in the gap for you and for me.
Somos personas muertas resucitadas por Jesús que se pone en la brecha por nosotros.
That's the good news. Jesus is our one and only high priest who makes us alive forever because he's always in the presence of the Father. So I want to go back to John 15, 5, because there in the very next verse, John 15, verse 5, Jesus says something powerful. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man, a woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yo soy la vid y ustedes son las ramas. El que permanece en mí como yo en él, dará mucho fruto. Separados de mí, ustedes no pueden hacer nada.
So Jesus is saying, get connected to me and you'll live forever. Someone's put it this way. The message we have in the church, the message of the Christian faith is not, you stink, try harder. You stink, try harder. That's not our message. A lot of people think that's our message. It's not.
El mensaje no es que no puedes, tienes que intentar más.
Our message is this. You're dead. But Jesus is alive forever. Trust in him. Trust in him. Get connected to him. Trust and walk with him more and more every day.
Jesús vive. Ustedes están muertos, pero Jesús vive. Conéctense con él con fe.
That's the good news. In fact, that's the best news once you understand it. There's a pastor by the name of Rico Tice says, this is the best news ever. And if you don't think this is the best news ever, you really don't get it. You don't understand it. But if you can understand it, there's nothing that can compare with it. And this is what we offer up today. In fact, that's my invitation to everyone within the sound of my voice. That's why we do what we do as a church. Our message is this. If you're lifeless, Jesus is alive. Get connected to him.
Si no tienes vida, conéctate con Jesús.
Now remember the story. Aaron's branch was placed before the testimony, the Ten Commandments, and it blossomed and it flourished, right?
La vara floreció ante los diez mandamientos.
Now, we're not like that. Before the Ten Commandments, as hard as we try, as much as we try to live them out, we don't tend to blossom and flourish. We tend to not do very well, right? We fail. But you see, Jesus is different. He's like the branch. Before the Ten Commandments, Jesus didn't just keep the rules. He didn't just live the Ten Commandments. He completed them. He embodies them. He embodies the life that God was meant to give us through the Ten Commandments. But those Ten Commandments couldn't give us life.
Jesús es él en forma corporal. Él representa los diez mandamientos y los cumple.
And so here's the thing. Because of Jesus, this is where we are today. I want to read 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hear that? It says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Ustedes son linaje escogido, real sacerdocio, nación santa. It's saying that because of Jesus, this ever-living branch, you and I now are being sent out to be in the world like little priests. We're like little connecting points for people in the world to be connected to Jesus, who connects them with God. Somos como puntos de conexión. We're like those little icons. And if we can just click with someone else and declare to them the praises of Jesus Christ, they may trust in him too. That's what Imago Church is all about. That's what Sunrise Community Church is all about. We need to understand what our world is going through right now. All around us, there are people being swallowed up. They're being devoured. By what? Addiction, abuse, depression, brokenness, hopelessness, hatred, division, death. There's so much that's swallowing people up in our day and age. Idols of all kinds. Las personas han sido devoradas por muchas cosas. And we have an opportunity. So here's my question. Who can you declare the praises of Jesus to this week? And how can you do that? ¿Cómo pueden declarar las alabanzas al Señor? Who can you touch? Who can you connect with? And be that light as they're getting swallowed up out of darkness. Who can you blossom and flourish and show the life of Jesus to? That's what Imago's all about. That's what Sunrise is all about. In fact, I see it on your wall. Gather, build up, send out, multiply. That's the story we've just read. The branches were gathered up. The one branch blossomed and was built up. It was sent out. The people of Israel were sent out, and they multiplied. And here we are today. We're called to be a part of the same thing. At Sunrise, we talk about some habits, some Bell's habits for reaching people and for living a different kind of life. B stands for bless. Who can you bless this week? E stands for eat. Who can you eat with and get to know? As a way of connecting with people. L stands for listen. Who can you listen to, and how can you listen to God's word as you're listening to these people? The other L stands for learn. How can you learn from someone and also learn about Jesus? And S stands for speak. How can you speak and show Jesus Christ to other people? That's what we're about. And so that's my encouragement. In fact, right now I want to invite us to pray into a time of prayer. And if this is something that maybe has never made sense to you, but now today something new has shifted in your heart, I want to pray with you and invite you to embrace Jesus Christ in your life as that branch that connects us. So let's pray. Jesus is alive, so let's blossom and flourish in him. Lord God, thank you for the time we've had together today. We believe, Jesus, that you are ever alive, never to die again. That's not just a story. That's a reality. If there's someone here this morning, maybe there's someone here who's trying hard. There are a lot of people in our world that are trying harder. Hay mucha gente que se esfuerza más cada vez por llegar a Dios. Lord, if there's someone here that's just been trying so hard to get closer to you, and yet it just doesn't seem to work, may today be a different day for them, where they stop trying harder and they just simply embrace you, Jesus. That they just connect with you and say, Jesus, I want you to be my branch. I want to be connected to you. You're the vine, I'm the branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I want to get connected to you. I trust in you. I embrace you. I receive your gift of eternal life. If that's what you need today, I invite you to pray with me. Si necesitas vida eterna, te invito a que ores conmigo. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm lifeless. I've failed. don't deserve all that you've done for me. But thank you for dying for me. Gracias por morir por mis pecados. Thank you for rising. Just come into my life. Connect me with the Father. Connect me with abundant life. That's why you came. Conéctame con la vida abundante. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to live. But show me. Show me the way to go. If you want somebody to pray with you as we wrap up this service, I'm going to be off to the side here, and I invite you to come and pray. If there's something stirring in your heart you need, we might have some other people here willing to pray with you, but we would love for you to make that step, that next step of many steps, but to connect with Jesus, who connects you with God. That's the most important step you can take. El paso de conectarte con Jesús es el paso más importante. So I'm just going to be off to the side and invite you to come as we sing. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.